Trevor Zamparelli on 2FM
with Virgin Mobile. Go from scrolling through stories to creating your own. Freedom is calling. Virgin Mobile. Bring on amazing.
Now, last week I spoke with a Wexford photographer, Bradley Stafford, and Bradley, along with his wife Anastasia, left their home in Kyiv and moved in with their mother-in-law about 300 kilometres west of the city over fears of the Russian invasion. Now, they have just recently crossed the border into Poland, and Bradley joins me now. Bradley, good morning.
Good morning, Jen.
It's lovely to hear your voice again. Horrific scenes over the weekend. Where exactly are you and your wife Anastasia now? And I presume you're safe at the moment.
Yeah, we're all good. We've been in Krakow in Poland for the last week or so. And we took the decision to leave kind of pretty quickly. And it was all executed pretty quickly. I think it was on the second day of the war. And on the first day, nothing had really happened where we were in Rivne, but on the second day, I think we might have had maybe 8 or 9 air raid sirens go off.
Okay.
Throughout the day and into the night. So that meant leaving the flat, running downstairs, looking for a bomb shelter / bunker / basement, really, to hide in. And yeah, it took its toll over the day. I mean, the first time we went down, I mean, most basements were locked. People didn't know where to go. People were panicking. You know, mothers are running around with their kids in an awful state. And we found one on the first siren, but it was very small. It wasn't really a basement. It was more just a corridor between two buildings, really. No lights, no seats, very cold, dirty and wet, and wasn't a fun experience at all. And then for the remainder of the sirens that day, we happened to find a better one with our neighbor. A bit more spacious, a bit more light. But these places had never been used for such things before. So over time, of course, they kind of lost their condition, so to speak. I mean, it was quite dirty and dusty and it wasn't ideal. So then when the last one went off that night at about 11:30, we were downstairs and it seemed to be there was more people actually in it this time around. So we were quite cramped and I was sitting down on the floor beside my wife and my dog. And yeah, my wife just kind of looked at me and said, well, I've had enough of this. Let's go. I can't live from siren to siren. So this was about midnight, and then 6 a.m. the next morning, we were already on the way to Lviv to get a bus to Poland.
Taking your life into your hands as well. I know it's not safe to travel around, so you make it. That must have been frightening coming out of there and just making your way to Poland. So how did you get to Poland? Can you explain that to me, just your journey?
Sure. So at 6 a.m., mother-in-law and grandpa drove us to Lviv, which is about 2 hours away from where we were. On the way we had to get petrol at a few stations because we were quite low, but they were only limiting it to about 20 liters per car. At both petrol stations we were at, there was massive queues. We were probably at each one for about half an hour.
Wow.
And then on the way to Lviv, there was a few military checkpoints. Random cars were getting pulled over just to see, make sure, like, it was usually men, I believe, that were getting stopped and being questioned and car searched and documents checked and all that sort of thing. And then we got to Lviv, and from Lviv, we were to get a bus organized by my wife's company, who had been evacuating staff from Kyiv all the way to Lviv, and then from Lviv onto Krakow as well. And yeah, the bus station was packed, absolutely packed. There was buses going all over Europe from there to like Hungary and Slovakia, Poland, Germany, and it was chaos, really, just the amount of people there. And our bus ended up being 4.5 hours late. So
Oh my
we were
God.
standing around for a long time, and we had our dog with us, and it was kind of hard work.
Yeah.
But I was also quite paranoid. I on a few occasions thought I actually could hear air raid sirens going off, and my wife and friend looked at me and said, "No, we can't hear anything." So I was at this point hearing them at
Yeah.
random points during the
Yeah.
day, even though they weren't going off. And
So you got
yeah,
on
then
the
eventually.
bus, Bradley, eventually after 4.5 hours. I'm sure you're not even relieved even on the bus. I'm sure it's still pretty tense, was it?
I think once we got on the bus and we were moving, I think people were a lot more relieved, including myself. My wife even said that she noticed the difference in me that she hadn't seen for a number of days. We did appear to go around the city the long way. We stopped off somewhere for a while, and I wasn't sure why. But then, yeah, eventually got to the border. It was dark at this point, and yeah, there was huge, huge, huge queues of traffic. And the way we went, basically the road went towards the border, but then it split in two different directions, with both roads going to separate border crossings. So the traffic there was a nightmare. I can't remember how long we were at that point for, but I remember we kind of were able to move along then in the queue for buses quite quickly, and we got to, well, within relatively close proximity to the border at about 11 p.m. And then we pulled up, and yeah, I think at this point most people just decided to go to sleep because we knew we were going to be here for a while. So then I think I might have been awake till about 3 a.m. and then woke up at 7 and saw that the bus hadn't moved. And then more people started slowly waking up, and they opened the doors, and we could like go outside and walk around and do what we needed to do, really. And then
Children
they
on the
told
bus,
us.
Bradley? Was there any kids and families and
Yeah, I mean, there was not too many kids, really. I mean, a few, I think maybe 3 or 4 kids. It was mainly girls who worked with my wife's company, and
Gotcha.
perhaps if they had a friend or a boyfriend or a husband who was from abroad, they were there too. There was also 3 Ukrainian guys on our bus, and I didn't realize there was until the border guards got on to check only the male passports, because Ukrainian men, obviously between 18 and 60 years of age, weren't allowed to leave the country under martial law. So 3 guys got pulled off the bus just like that. And yeah, loads of dogs. We had our dog with us. There's about 4 or 5 dogs, loads of cats. One family even had 2 hamsters with them.
My
Just
God.
everything, really. But the mood on the bus was surprisingly calm. And our very good friend of me and my wife happened to be on the bus as well, and it was a bit of laughter, and like people were just, I guess, relieved to be getting out, despite, most people leaving family behind, including my wife. And yeah, I think in general, what would have usually taken maybe 6 or 7 hours to get from Lviv to Krakow ended up taking 43 hours. So it was, yeah, it was quite the journey, really.
Bradley, when
And
you
still not
arrived,
really.
I mean, you're just there, but when you arrived in Poland, I mean, what did you meet? What was there for you?
Well, our bus took us all the way to Krakow. The company had sort of arranged accommodation for people like all around the city. But because we had a dog, and the only choice we had was to maybe leave the dog at the company's office, or maybe to share the apartment or a hotel room with someone else with a pet, we said, "Look, we'll just get our own place. It's fine." But once we crossed the border, you could see like almost hundreds and hundreds of huge tents, lots of volunteers, huge stacks of like drinks and food, and people were handing out blankets everywhere, and yeah, there was cars as well everywhere, and ambulances, cars, but with signs in the windows saying, in Ukrainian, we can like take you to any city you want. We can, host 4 people. We can host a family. Just like people offering any help they could, and it was incredible to see, really. I mean, it was most of these kind of tents and stuff were set up for people who were crossing the border on foot, which to me kind of looked like there may have been easily a couple of thousand people walking. I mean, we even saw on the way up cars that had been just kind of left by the side of the road. I guess people just got tired of waiting and just said, "Here, look, we'll just go, we'll just walk. We need to get out of here as quick as we can." Yeah, even the welcome in Poland. I mean, you can see signs of support everywhere for Ukraine. In the train station next to where we're staying, there's a center for people to kind of sleep and rest and get some food and kind of sort out their next steps, really. And yeah, the offers of help that have been coming in, for me as well, just it's been amazing, really. People who might have read about me in the paper or heard from me on the radio, just messaging me out of the blue on Facebook saying, "Oh, look, I'm in Slovakia, I'm in Poland, and I know some people here or there who might be able to help, or you can like stay with us." And it's been overwhelming, really, because you never think you'd be in such a situation like this before, like ever.
No, I mean, I spoke to you a couple of weeks ago and you had no intention of leaving.
I didn't, and I really, mainly because I, like many others, I would say, had no idea what was coming. I mean, I had a feeling that something was going to happen, but it would be more so in the west, or sorry, the east, in Donbass, where it had been going on for a while. But the night that it happened, the night that it started, and you're seeing all these videos coming in of just like explosion after explosion, and like missiles and rockets being fired at cities all over the country. Well, then at that point, you're like, well, okay, this is very serious. And I kind of waited a few hours to wake up my wife. And when I did, it was about 6 a.m. the day it started. And I said it to her then, and I said, "Look, we need to get out of here."
And you did.
And well, not immediately, but pretty quickly afterwards, yeah.
But
In
is her
day
mother
three,
still
basically.
there, Bradley? Did you leave family in Ukraine?
Yeah, so her mum was there, and both her grandparents are there. Of course, the offer was there for them to come with us. My mum and dad have been trying to get me and Anna home for so long now, and even since this kicked off, even more so. And my mum and dad were constantly saying, "Look, bring them all home. We'll find them somewhere to live in Sligo. They'll be safe. They'll be with family. They won't need anything. Everything will be okay." But yeah, grandparents-in-law wouldn't have even been able for the journey across the border, never mind the whole way to Ireland,
Did they want to
and
go, but just felt they couldn't?
I don't, well, they we kept asking them. We said, "Look, come on, we'll find a way home. We'll find somewhere to live in Sligo, and like it'll be fine, and then we can return back to Ukraine when the day comes." But we were constantly told, "No, we're not going anywhere. We're staying here." And as a result of that, then her mom obviously didn't want to go anywhere and leave her grandparents behind. Well, her parents behind. And so, yeah, obviously, I mean, they were all very understandable of our decision and wanted to leave. And the night before we left, there was lots of tears, and I couldn't help but feel a bit guilty. And I said it to my mother-in-law. I was like, "I hope you don't hate me now for taking Anna away." And she called, well, in the equivalence of Russian, she basically called me a stupid idiot not to think this. And Yeah, and then the next day when we drove up to the grandparents, yeah, it's something I won't, it's an image I won't really forget until we get to see them again, you know, which is horrific.
I'm sure, Bradley, there's a lot of images you won't forget. The journey,
Yeah,
you
the
know, that
journey
bus,
and
the what you've seen, you've been through something extremely traumatic.
yeah, I mean, thankfully, I haven't seen as much damage or anything that's been going on in like Kyiv or in Kharkiv or so on, but it's mainly the sounds I think that we experience or that I experience that will stick with me for a while. I mean, just before Putin declared war and just after Ukrainian airspace had been closed for about half an hour, 45 minutes, I could hear nothing but jets, fighter jets flying over our building at like 4 a.m. And then the next day, well, I heard nothing from the next day, thankfully, but on then on the I think it was the Saturday or maybe the Friday, on two occasions from the balcony, I could hear two separate rounds of gunfire. And well, yeah, of course, I think the worst thing will be the air raid sirens and the sounds that they make. I mean, I saw one guy, another Irish guy, kind of describe it as like the wail of a banshee, but I would describe it as something much, much worse. And so much so that I was like hearing it when I actually couldn't
Yeah.
hear it, you know, I was like hearing it for most of the day. But thankfully now I'm, you know, after a week of kind of just relaxing and just kind of trying to come to terms with it all and like speaking to friends about it and family about it and all, and like I've been like writing it, trying to process it by writing it all down. It's helping a lot, but you know, which the main worry now is family and my family-in-law, and yeah, as well as our home in Kyiv, because you know we've had to just drop everything and go, just left everything behind pretty much. Basically, just have you know a backpack with a few clothes, and yeah, that's pretty much all we have now, right now, until we can figure out what we do when we get back to Ireland, or eventually at some point, hopefully, when we can get back to
You must be looking forward to a hug from your own folks at this stage.
Kyiv. Yeah, definitely. And my wife is as well. She told me whenever when she gets to see my mum and hug her that she's just gonna lose it.
Isn't it awful it took a war to get your missus to meet the folks for the first time?
They have actually met each
Oh, they
other
have.
long.
We're...
They have a
Okay.
few years ago. It's just they haven't seen her since we've been married.
And the pandemic and everything that's going on.
Yeah, so they haven't seen her maybe since. Well, my mom visited Kyiv, I think in 2019 or so. So I'm glad she got to come see it, and
Yeah.
she's met Anna. I mean, Anna has been to Ireland as well before.
And she got to see it in its glory. It's a very different place now.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, well, yeah, it's the center of Kyiv isn't really hasn't really been as hard hit as say other cities in Ukraine, but yeah, I mean, television tower which can be seen from our bedroom window has been hit, and a residential building kind of just up the street from us where we would do our grocery shopping got hit in the early stages of the week. And well, yeah, it's mostly like suburban towns kind of surrounding Kyiv that are being destroyed right now. But yeah, for now Kyiv is still standing, and hopefully that can continue, but
Please God.
it's nobody knows. Nobody knows what's going to happen next, really.
Is the plan, speaking of what's happening next, is the plan for you to get the ferry home? Is that the plan?
That's the plan, yeah,
Yeah.
because we have our dog with us, and we're not too keen on her flying, but that's all right. It's fine. I mean, we have friends in Berlin who will put us up for a few days, and then the plan is then for my dad to drive over, and from Berlin we'll head down to other friends who well her, she's in India at the moment, but her mom lives there in the north of France, and maybe stay with her for a day. And then from there, we'll get the ferry to Rosslare, and Once we get to Ross Lair, our dog will be like checked out, because, well, yeah, they've wavered kind of the normal procedure for dogs coming from outside the EU into Ireland, which is fantastic for us, really, and it's such a relief.
I
But
hope Bailey
she
appreciates
will.
all you've done for that dog. I hope Bailey, the golden retriever, appreciates all you've done for
Oh, she hasn't got a clue what's going on. I mean,
it.
it's you know, she's every week she's staying, sleeping on a new bed or on a new couch. But no, she's we thought it would have been a hassle to travel with her, but she was fine. She was like snoring on the bus, and everyone was loving the attention from her and stuff. But yeah, once we get back to Ireland, she'll have to undergo home quarantine for God knows how long. I just know that once we get off the boat, that they're gonna. Someone from the Department of Agriculture will check her out
Yeah.
and tell us, look, the dog needs to stay like by itself away from other dogs, which kind of is a little bit of an issue for us because it means we can't really go home to stay with my parents straight away because tons of dogs and cats, and we're not allowed to let our dog kind of mingle with any of them until they're given the all clear. So we're just trying to find somewhere to live now at the moment near my family, somewhere around Sligo or even Leitrim or Donegal. And yeah, once we've been able to sort that, I think then we'll be in a better position of knowing when we can actually come home.
Is the outpour of kindness you mentioned there from like your family and friends and people getting in contact and offering you places to stay, has that helped with this whole process? You know, has that been important?
Yes, absolutely. It's yeah, no, for absolutely 100%. I mean, once it all started, hundreds of messages coming in from like people, close friends, of course, and family members, but also people that I might have spoken to for years, like people I went to, you know, secondary school with, people that I went to primary school with, you know, people, you know, people that I wouldn't necessarily even talk to anymore, but you know, they've got in touch. People I've met from, you know, all over the world, from just like traveling around Europe and so on. And just, yeah, I mean, it's, I don't know. I mean, if these messages hadn't been coming in, I think it would have been a lot more difficult, really, to cope with it. And yeah, like even, you know, since being on like a number of radios and the newspapers and stuff, you know, like even the messages my mum and dad have been getting from people all over Ireland as well, I imagine have been a great help to them as well. And yeah, once then, you know, I once we got across the border and I told my family, and then I remember they put up a big post on Facebook saying like they made it or whatever. Yeah, just like all the messages coming in then as well. Yeah, it's been amazing really. And just even like the help we've been offered from strangers, and like my friend in India, she's like so keen to help in whatever way she can, and like she tried to organize people to meet my other friend across the border in Romania. She's trying to organize things for people in Germany, and she's, you know, offering us a place to stay in France. And just yeah, it's just been incredible really. And you know, a thank you will never seem like enough really.
Bradley, I'm sure your parents and your family and friends are so delighted you are safe, and we're so happy to hear your voice again and hear that you and your wife are safe, and we wish you all the very best, and even the dog
Thanks
in her
very much, Jen.
quarantine.
Appreciate it.
She'll get through. She'll be fine. Bradley, stay safe, and we look forward to having you back in Ireland.
Super. Thanks very
Bye,
much, Jen.
Bradley. There we go. That is Bradley Stafford, from Sligo, has just made it across the border to Poland. Will be coming home very, very soon. A lot of texts coming in after that. Somebody said, I'm absolutely bawling my eyes out. Listen to this. Happy to take him and his wife, Anna, if they come into Dublin Port and need accommodation while waiting for Bailey to come out of quarantine. I'm in Dún Laoghaire and have a spare double bedroom with an en suite. So, There we go. I mean, you just feel compelled to help. And if anybody, I don't know, he mentioned it there, has accommodation in the Sligo, Leitrim area where they can stay with the dog so the dog doesn't have to be taken away from them. God, they've done so much for that dog. You can get in touch. You can get in touch here and we'll pass it on. Jen at rt.ie is our email. We'll be right back after this.
Jennifer Zaffarelli.
Weekday morning from 9
on 2FM.